The following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Kunite! No, no, no! Alawa! Kunite!
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
I really wish you would tell me where you're going to be next week.
Well, I can't divulge that right now.
You know I can't do it alone. I can't go on alone.
You're going to have to, my friend.
Like you're supposed to say, the Force
Peter
will be with you.
Will always be with you.
Always. Oh, greetings, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Forcecast this week for March 23rd, 2007. We are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. I am Jason, and with me for this week, my best buddy, Pete.
Always happy to be here.
And this show is brought to you by our good friends at Official Picks. That's officialpicks.com. You spell it with an X. You know them. You love them. They're the official autograph vendor for Celebration 4 and your one-stop shop for all of your Star Wars autograph and photograph needs. So check them out again. Officialpicks.com. Picks with an X. Well, we might as well just kind of get right to it.
Absolutely.
We've got just a little bit of housekeeping here to do at the top of the show. We want to respond to, or follow up rather, on a couple of stories. Last week, we had talked about Princess Leia being named. I think it was last week, or the week before.
It was the week prior.
It was the week prior. Okay.
Last week, we had the corrections from the story that we posted.
Right. Right. Oh, that's right. Oh, right. Yes. Because of the Grace Park.
Right.
Did you watch your Battlestar this week?
I did not.
Oh, that's right. I'm completely
disillusioned now.
Yeah, yeah. Are you giving up?
No, of course not.
Summer. Okay, because the season finale is this week. So, but that should make you.
Yeah,
at least you're not going to be
behind
anymore.
Now I know
anymore.
that I can catch up.
All right, we digress. Anyway, so a couple of weeks ago, we had a story. We were talking about a Maxim magazine poll where Princess Leia was named the hottest crush. Well, they have recently crowned another Star Wars character this week, the hottest? No, the best sidekick is Chewbacca.
Chewbacca! Oh, what a Wookiee!
He is quite a Wookiee.
Yes, he is. And, well, he is the best sidekick, according to Maxim. And we want to thank Mike Barrick, Forcecast listener, who sent that notice in. I don't read Maxim. I buy it for the pictures.
Yeah. There's words in that?
Oh, anyway, so thank you, Mike, for that. We appreciate it. And congratulations to Chewbacca being the best sidekick. You know, I have to agree. He is one of the best sidekicks.
He is. He's always there. He doesn't talk back too much.
And he can pretty much stomp just about anybody.
Right.
And for someone like me, that's the kind of sidekick I need.
That's the guy you need in your corner. There's
right.
No doubt.
Right. I wanted to alert you folks over there on the West Coast that, well, you don't have a whole lot of notice, but this weekend, tomorrow, as this show goes live, is going to be Fan Day at the Los Angeles, California Science Center, and their current showcase of the Star Wars Where Science Meets Imagination exhibit. So it is Fan Day. They're going to have costume contests with prizes, a droid demo, a saber demo, with some combat simulation, all kinds of fun things. So make sure you get out there. And if you haven't seen this exhibit yet and you need an excuse to go, why not check it out, Fan Day. So the 501st and Rebel Legions are going to be out there as well. So sounds like fun.
Should be fun.
Yeah. I mean, the one that they had here, the opening, when it opened up in Kosai in Columbus, was a blast.
It was a lot of fun.
Of course, it was a lot of waiting in line.
Yes, and it was also 2 o'clock in the morning when we finally started eating. We were just crazy.
But it's a great exhibit, and I know we've mentioned it on the show before, but it's especially great. We know there's a lot of families that listen to our show, and it is especially great for families because the kids, it's very hands-on. So make sure you check that out. Also, for you friends over across the pond, there is a Star Wars exhibit coming your way. Star Wars, it's very cleverly titled, Star Wars, The Exhibition.
Ooh.
And this is the same exhibition that premiered in Portugal last year. And apparently, according to this, 150,000 visitors in the span of 2 months. So, Portugal, quite a place for Star Wars fandom.
Yes.
So anyway, it's opening May 5th at the historic County Hall in Westminster, London, and it'll be running through September 1st, which means that it will be open during Celebration Europe.
Excellent.
Excellent timing.
Good planning.
Unlike us Yanks here, who decided to close down the Where Science Meets Imagination exhibit literally weeks before Celebration 4 comes to town.
But we don't want them competing.
Right. Whatever. Right. And, you know, this next story, we've already talked about Battlestar, so we might as well talk a little bit about Star Trek. Yeah, I know. I know that's your reaction. I know. You don't have to grumble every time it's brought up, you know.
I like to be consistent.
You do realize if there was no Star Trek, there'd have been no Star Wars. Do you understand this?
That doesn't even come into play for me. I'm sorry. I refuse to acknowledge
that. I can't really make that claim either.
Where's that coming from?
People that say, if there was no Elvis, there would be no Beatles.
Right.
And you're like, really?
Wait, what? It's more like saying, if there wasn't crackers, there wouldn't be peanut butter. I was thinking the most outrageous thing I could think of.
You have to try harder.
All right.
For Star Trek fans, one of the best things about living in or visiting Las Vegas is the Star Trek experience at the Las Vegas Hilton. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy, David, he starts out this column by talking about, just plain and simple. He comes out and says, you know, I know some people are going to make fun of this, but the devotion of Trekkers is an easy target for derision. But I'd argue that you'll find a much higher average IQ level among Star Trek fans than you would at most public gatherings. And if they take the series philosophy to heart, they're probably treating each other with kindness and tolerance and making the world a better place, unlike those reprobate Star Wars fans. What do you make of this?
This is just...
He says...
slanderous.
He says, yeah, you heard me. It always fires my photon torpedo whenever Star Wars tops Star Trek in a poll about the best sci-fi franchises. Let's put our geek hats on, shall we? He goes on. He says, Star Wars consists of 6 feature films, 3 of which aren't much good, according to their own fans.
Have you seen any of the Star Trek movies? There was one that was good. One. I liked 4... because it had whales in it. Really, that was it. Because I was a big fan of whales. But Wrath of Khan is the only good Star Wars movie. You know, it's quality over quantity.
You know, this would make an interesting podcast because all on its own.
Yes.
Because this is tearing me up. You know, You know I'm a fan of Trek. But what this guy is saying, he says, you know, look, you've got over 600 hours of in-continuity drama in the Star Trek universe, as opposed to these 6 films and 3 of them the fans, you know, Star Wars fans even say they don't like, 4 if you count those who still haven't forgiven George for the Ewoks and Return of the Jedi, blah blah blah. Right, okay, so he's claiming that just based on volume, 1, it tops Star Wars, and secondly, he goes in, this is where I really will disagree with my fellow Trekkers. I hate, and I mean, I'm using the word hate here, I hate when they go to this, they pull this card of it's about peace and love and the future and optimism. No, it's not. It's really not.
Otherwise, it would be the world's most boring show.
You know what Star Trek is really about? Captain Kirk, Mr. Spock, and Dr. McCoy. And very few people get it.
Yeah.
Bill Shatner gets it. He understands what Trek is about. And, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the other shows, but, I mean, You'll find apologists in the Trek world as much as you'll find in the Star Wars world apologizing for certain things. And definitely Next Generation finally, you know, hit its stride. You can make the argument about the prequels. The prequels found their stride by the end. He only had three films to do it. They had 7 years
right
to get it right. And they finally got it right towards the end. So can't we all just get along? But
no, you know, there's always going to be debate. And even within the Star Wars universe, there's debate on who's the best.
Yeah.
So, you know, who the best fans are. So we should all just be fans and enjoy having fun in the sandbox.
Well, this fella here, David Hofstede, we'll have a link on our show notes for the full article. So that's about all we can really say about that. It just galls me, this whole thing. It's about peace and love. No, it's not. It's about firing phasers and, well, whatever. Anyway, you know what? I know one thing we can agree on. We can all agree that when it comes to partying, no one parties quite like Star Wars fans. I've been to Star Trek conventions, and I'm sorry, they don't hold a candle to Star Wars celebrations. That's why they do them. They don't do them, you know, every month like, you know, the Trekkers.
That's right. We take our party seriously.
That's right. Celebration 4, we've got, Pete,
10 weeks. 10 weeks. It's wow. Just around the corner.
Yeah,
can,
it really is.
You can almost hold your breath that long. So.
Yes, I can almost feel the Dramamine coursing through my blood as I try to knock myself out for the plane ride out there. I'm not a good flyer.
I think we should take test flights, you know, from my house to your house, you know, my house to the post office just to get you warmed up. But anyway, we've been giving you tips, as you well know by now. And we've been talking a lot about waiting in line. And again, this time around, it's the same thing. Things to do while you're in line, take your iPod. Now, this obviously goes without saying to most of you who have the iPod and are listening to us on it right now. However, we're going to try and have as much content as possible leading up to C4, so you'll have a lot of things to entertain yourself. And really, we want to promote talking to the people that are around you. We want to promote getting involved in the fan community and all that kind of stuff. But there are going to be situations where you're going to be by yourself or you're going to be excluded or something.
Or it's going to be really early in the morning.
Right, exactly. And you're not really going to want to talk to people.
Not feeling chatty.
Let us warm you up for the day. And hey, if you happen to be in line and somebody says, what are you listening to? You can tell them the Forcecast. If you haven't heard it, it's a great podcast. The hosts are here and they're all over the place. You'll see them running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Definitely take your iPod. We're going to have a lot of content going on that weekend, that span of the party. So
yeah.
Look forward to that. So take those with you, and hopefully you'll have some place to download all the stuff.
Well, and then it gives them something to look forward to when they get back.
Right, exactly.
Know, big letdown, you know, for after the big post-convention blahs.
Yes, we are very familiar.
While you're there at the convention, you want to make sure you check out the collecting panels, because when you go, you just might get one of 12 different medallions that are going to be giving away at random times during the panels. So what these are is they are little coins instead of the trading cards, which they did at C3. These are coins that have a kind of artist representations of the first 12 Star Wars action figures from Kenner. They are super, super cool. And, you know, whenever I see something like this, I get, like, really excited. Like, oh, I can't wait to get them all. And then I realize, probably not going
to. It's going to be pretty rough to get them all.
Yeah. But check it out over at StarWars.com. They've got a great article about these medallions. You definitely want to read up on them, because if you're a collector of kind of rare Star Wars collectibles, that's definitely going to be one to look at. Also, more exclusives news we have here from Sideshow. They've finally announced, and not only did they announce, but we have a photo. So you have to check out our show notes for that. The Sideshow exclusives for Celebration 4 is going to be a 1/6 scale Yavin Luke Skywalker, Ceremonial Luke.
It's dead on.
It's fantastic. That's what we have the picture of. You check it out, rebelscum.com, or on our show notes. And a This Is Not a Cave Space Slug diorama, obviously from Empire Strikes Back, and the Medicom Sand Trooper Real Action Heroes. So that's a pretty good slate. I mean, this Luke figure is, every time they put one out, it's like, that's, I think that's the best one.
Yeah.
And this is, it's really close. So make sure you check out our show notes for the photo. Also, Master Replicas has announced that they're going to have a scaled Wedge Antilles replica helmet as part of their exclusives. Not only that, but they're going to be having the Force FX combat trial, so you can test your skills, demonstrate your skills with a Force FX saber, and maybe win some prizes. Celebration Europe goers, you're also going to have an opportunity to go to a lot of different collecting panels at Celebration Europe. No word on any kind of exclusive incentive collectible to be had there, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see something similar to these medallions. These medallions are very, very cool. So check those out. 10 weeks to go. Bring your iPod. We're going to have lots of Forcecast content for you. Check it out. Celebration 4 right around the corner. 10 weeks.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
That's right. Not only do we give you all the news about Star Wars, folks, we're also going to give you a little bit of Indiana Jones news because, you know, if we don't, who is? I don't know. Is there an Indiana Jones podcast out there somewhere?
There isn't. I'm sure there will be at some point.
Oh, no. I don't. Don't go there.
Won't be us.
Just get the, yeah, I was just going to say, I can see the emails already. Hey, guys, I got an idea. Dustin. Anyway, your Indiana Jones 4 update for this week. Casting confirmation that Kate Blanchett has signed to star in the fourth installment of the Indiana Jones adventures. This is coming from our good friends at ComingSoon.net. Now, it's unclear who Kate Blanchett is going to play, but we know that she is going to be in the film. So shooting will begin in June in L.A., which, well, my guess is that we're not going to see Harrison Ford or George Lucas at the convention because they're going to be tied up with this. Even though, shooting doesn't start till June, but they're going to be busy. So, also, there's this kind of surfaced here, this spy report. And we'll have more on this spy report in just a few moments. But as far as Indiana Jones is concerned, they say apparently the powers that be are pretty ashamed of Temple of Doom because they stress that this film is going to follow the tone and the spirit of the first and third movies very closely. Indiana is going to have a young Padawan, and that could be the Shia LaBeouf character that we've been hearing about. Story is going to take place in the 1950s, and even though the Russians were not directly named as villains, the Cold War was mentioned. And as always, the plot should revolve around a paranormal artifact. Now, no official title for the film has been mentioned, but it looks like that things are certainly moving forward as far as this goes. This is, you know, one of those projects where it's like, it seemed like it's, they've been talking about it forever.
Yes.
You know, and I mean, George even said that at the MTR presentation that, you know, he's been working on this film basically since the last one.
Yeah, 15 years.
Right. So I'm glad to hear that it's finally really happening, even with casting rumors and confirmations. Although I wish that he could have just pushed it off a little bit longer so that we might have a chance to see he and Harrison at Celebration.
I'm holding out hope that they swoop in Harrison's private jet.
Although,
because he is a pilot. You know, they could land right on top of the convention center.
He landed here in Canton, I'll tell you that. That's another Star Wars tale.
Yeah.
But they did say, you know, that it'll start filming in L.A., so, and I don't know. It's anybody's guess.
It is anybody's guess.
There's your your Indiana Jones update. First day with my new tongue. And we got more headlines coming your way.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Well, as promised, we're going to continue with this spy report. Not only did it bring us some information or misinformation, not sure what the case is going to be, on the Indiana Jones 4, but they have some speculation on the TV show. And, you know, if you've been listening to the Forcecast lately, you know Pete and I love to speculate about the TV show.
We lap it up.
Yes. So what he's saying is that, and this is, this person, his name is Roger, so we'll just call him codename Roger, that the first episode of this is going to take place between episodes 2 and 3 and focuses on good guys, Anakin and Obi-Wan, and bad guys, Count Dooku and Asajj Ventress. Anakin also has a young Padawan, a red Twi'lek female. The plot of the first episode revolves around the Jedi trying to rescue Jabba the Hutt's son from separatist forces. Apparently, according to this, reaction to the show was not entirely positive. Vehicles and clone troopers were rendered somewhat realistically, but other characters have sort of a super marionation feel to them. The general sentiment was that you can get away with this when you're rendering alien characters, but not with humans. And for some unexplainable reason, R2-D2 looks like claymation. The show was apparently animated in Lucasfilm's new Singapore facility. He goes on to say that maybe there's a disconnect between Lucas and the folks at Lucasfilm, because he had proclaimed that the CGI Clone Wars show has a definite dark tone and a sentiment that, you know, obviously the droids cartoon did not have. And they're saying that, no, actually, this is going to be aimed at 12-year-olds, and it's going to be aired weekly on a primetime network. And, you know, it's just, they're not on the same page, basically.
It just sounds like, you know, just speculation. Again, until we know exactly, until everything's confirmed, there's not really any need to get too excited about anything or get too worked up about anything, because it's bound to change next week when we get the next spy report.
Right. And I was at first very quick to dismiss this.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I thought about it more and more, and then he goes on to say there will be another animated show aimed at 6-year-olds and the live-action show aimed at 16-year-olds. I thought, you know, George did kind of slip and say, you know, correct himself and talk about 2 animated series, and I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
Until I see...
Jabba the Hutt's son?
Did he even have a son?
Like, how do we know?
Is it going to be... was Chewbacca's son?
Lumpy.
Lumpy. Is it going to be Jumpy? Or Sluggy? I don't know. I mean, if that happens to be the plot, that sounds good. But it just there's so much stuff that just sounds...
Yeah,
you
know.
It goes back to the whole Charlton Heston as Yoda. You never know what's
that's
what's
true. You know, it all comes back to Charlton Heston has been cast as Yoda. It has to be the greatest rumor ever.
Yes, by far.
Well, one thing that's not a rumor, we have cold, hard confirmation of. We got an email from our good buddy Darth Ludacris. He says, "Hey guys, with the Celebration Movie Marathon announced, do you know if this is the only time that they're going to be playing the movies? I hope it's not going to be a one and done type thing. What about people who are coming in on Thursday? They're not going to be able to watch the movies? Isn't the movies why we all are making the trek to LA? If there were no Star Wars movies, there'd be no celebration. I like the way we had it at C3 when they showed 2 movies a night. It was a nice way to just cap off the day. I thought since you guys have all the connections, you could scare up some answers." Well, we don't have the connections, but we have the connections with the people who have the connections. And Darth Ludacris, I'm disappointed to tell you that it is indeed the only time that the films are going to be presented at the convention is on the Wednesday before it kicks off. And in that marathon, they're not going to be played during the you know, the regular convention. And I think that's a mistake. I think it's a big mistake.
I think it's a gaffe.
I'm almost tempted to say, at least have episode 4 on a loop all day.
Yeah,
just every day.
Just
and let people go in and see what started this. Or remind people, not that we really need reminding, but how cool to go in there and say, this is why we're all here. Not necessarily these other films, but this is what started it off. And that's what I would do. But apparently, that's not the plan. Now, you know, you walk a line here. You don't want to be overly critical and make a huge deal out of it. But I know I really enjoyed, Pete, you and I think we got to see episode one. We wanted to see the other ones, but they kicked us out. They didn't let us stay for the other ones. Yeah, they were playing two a night. I think they were two a night.
It was two a night.
And we thought we could just hang out there for the rest of the night. You know, go in there, get our seats for episode one, and then episode two would start later, and we'd see it. But that was not to be. They said, get out. We got to get everybody else in here. So, but it was nice. I mean, it was nice while it lasted, and it is kind of a nice, you know, wind down moment to have.
Yeah, it was nice to sit in there and enjoy it, and enjoy it with other people who were as enthused about it as you were.
Oh, remember all the Jar Jar comments?
Yeah.
Normally, you know, when you're watching a movie in a theater, you're annoyed by people shouting out comments, but the dudes were funny. The guys that were that were talking about Jar Jar, they were funny. So.
Yeah, they were.
Well, it's no secret now. We've been talking about it for a while that the R2-D2 United States Postal Service promotion is well underway. If you haven't seen an R2-D2 mailbox in your area, you probably will soon. Check it out at StarWars.com. They have a full list of the markets that are going to be getting these. And, Pete, we're on the list.
We are on the list.
Canton, Ohio is on the list, baby. So we have no idea where it's going to be. You know, Canton, Ohio isn't, you know, the biggest city in the world, but it's not the smallest either. So I guess we're just going to have to, you know, get in the old land speeder and run around and try to find R2. Where could he be?
He's going to cause me a lot of trouble.
Oh, he excels at that. But there, this is kind of cool. There's a Frapper map out there, and we'll have the link on our show notes. So if you find an R2, get yourself photographed with it, or you know, take a picture of you and the R2 mailbox, and get online and get it posted onto the Frapper and get a pin into the Frapper map so we can track all of these down. So far, no one has found the one in Canton. And it may not even be here yet.
No.
So, kind of embarrassing if somebody finds it before us, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'll get a call from one of my friends. Hey, I just thought you might like to know this. There's an R2 on the corner. Oh, darn it. I mean, of course I know.
I'm thinking maybe the Hall of Fame. The Football Hall of Fame, somewhere around there?
That would be probably a good high-traffic area to put it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like in front of the Hoover Company or anything like that.
It's going to be behind my house.
That would be nice. That'd be nice.
That's only if it's a federal offense and I've stolen it.
Right. Well, StarWars.com also has a little photo album of the R2 spotters, as they're calling it. So this is a cool promotion. Local branches have all been receiving these postcards, apparently. We also have pictures of that. Check out our show notes. Just kind of introducing the campaign to the branch managers, stating that there's going to be the Jedi Shipping / Mailing Master sweepstakes, the grand prize being a trip for four to where else? Celebration 4.
Giddy up.
And, the second prize isn't too bad either. A $100 gift certificate for eBay. So, you know, lots of Star Wars stuff on eBay.
Yeah, I can find some good uses for that.
No doubt about it. And you can check out the official website at uspsjedimaster.com. So, this is cool. I mean, you can't get much more publicity than a stamp.
When it's showing up everywhere you go.
But there was kind of one, and you pointed this out, Pete. This is a good observation. There's one marketing point that they really missed, I think.
Absolutely.
Tell them what it is.
Well, if you haven't heard, the USPS is going to release a forever stamp. And this is a stamp that, you know, when they're raising prices of the stamps, they will, you know, you have to buy 2-cent stamps or 3-cent stamps to use your old stamps. Well, the forever stamp, whatever price you buy it at, it's good for it at in infinity. So if you end up you know, if the price goes up, you still can use that same old stamp.
So what if I buy, like, you know, 1,000 stamps?
Hey, you can use those 1,000 stamps until for any first class mail, which is a good idea. But if you're gonna have a forever stamp, and you're also going to have a Star Wars stamp, you've got to combine the two together. You've got to have the Star Wars is forever stamp, and that will let everybody know that as long as you can use this, and it should have R2-D2 on it, and I can't believe that you know, we haven't sent Dustin Roberts on a campaign, you know, as the prez,
right,
to get this done.
He needs to lobby for this.
Right, yes. Because, of course, Star Wars is forever, and now apparently so is postage. So, you know, we want to make, we should combine those, but I just thought that was interesting. That,
but it's weird. It's not a 41-cent stamp that's, you know, that's forever, but I mean, they're doing anything to, because they just raised postal rates here. For those of you not in the U.S., you don't understand that. They just raised the rates, mm-hmm. and they keep raising these ridiculous, you know, 2 cents here. So, you know, 41 cents now just to send a letter. And it's not like, you know, the quality of service has improved.
No, that's kind of a pipe dream, I think.
Yeah. Oh, well. But I think it's a very cool promotion. And
yeah, I'm excited about it. I am not a stamp collector, but I will be buying Star Wars stamps. That's
right. And that's what they're counting on.
Yes, exactly.
So it's a home run for everybody. But yeah, you're right. I mean, when you think about it, obviously the Star Wars is forever campaign. And then, you know, you have the forever stamp. It's like, yeah, they didn't get together on
could,
that.
It could be a natural combination there.
Yeah. Well, that's a perfect segue right into this. Speaking of natural combinations, how about any combination of six stickers for the new or this year's Ultimate Galactic Hunt contest?
And this is that's an extension of last year, where last year for the Ultimate Galactic Hunt, you had to have one of each of the figures, a sticker from each one right. of the figures. Then at the end, they said, well, you can have whatever. Because honestly, a lot of people wanted to buy six of the scout figures because right. they were the ones that people were trying to track down.
Right. Keep one and pirate the rest on eBay.
Right. Well, but anyway. So this year,
that's what you can spend your gift certificate on right. when you win.
It's exactly right. So, but this year they're going with the strategy starting off, you know, whatever figure you buy, if you buy six of the Han on Hoth, I don't know why you would do that, but if you buy six of them,
there's somebody,
you can, you know, send all of those in and still get the UGG bonus that's coming at the end.
Right. Well, so what we're in, we're kind of dancing around it and just assuming that you know.
Dance.
But what we're referring to is, of course, the vintage, the Star Wars vintage figures for the 30th anniversary. The latest assortment is coming out. And this spring. And, you know, last year where, you know, you had the redemption for the George Lucas figure, like Pete said, you had to get one of each in the assortment. So one of and then put these little stickers on this little entry form that people were, of course, stealing,
mm-hmm.
Which I think the reason behind this is they're hoping that people won't be stealing these redemption sticker forms,
yeah.
If you can just use one, or if you can just use any combination,
mm-hmm.
so and that's good. I'm not as wild about the incentive item. The incentive item for this year, rather than the George Lucas figure like they did last year, is a set of six collector coins, one for each of the six figures, and then a seventh coin that was one of a number of exclusive coins that will be released this year. This is the same one that was available for the folks that were at Toy Fair.
Right.
Yeah, you know, like Dan Curto. He already got his.
That might be lucky enough to be there.
Right. But if Dan wants these other coins, because these, you know, these vintage figures are just that. They're on a vintage card, so they're not going to have coins with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want the coins, and I think it's cool that they're actually, you know, unique coins for each figure.
Yes.
And plus, it's a great lineup of figures.
Yeah, the figures are definitely ones that I want to get anyway.
Right.
So it's just an added bonus.
Right. I mean, I personally, like I've said before, would have rather, you know, just had a whole, you know, exclusive mail-away figure. I love the mail-away figure.
Yeah.
Ever since the days of sending away for Boba Fett and the Emperor and, you know, kind of that. Again, part of that vintage feel. You know, it seems kind of a natural for this type of thing. But alas, not going to complain.
No.
I just did.
Well, not as bad as usual.
No whining. Oh, but then look at the next story. the Force Unleashed. Now, we talked about this last week, that there is a delay. Not a big delay, you know, only like 9 months. Like, you could get pregnant and have a child in the span of the delay that they have for this game. But we were wondering what was going to happen when they announced that, obviously, they're not going to get the Force Unleashed game out this fall. It's going to be out in the spring. What's going to happen with all these, you know, the other licensees that have wrapped kind of what they were planning for the end of the year, wrapped it around the release of this game? Well, Hasbro was the first to answer the question. According to the latest Q&A session, several sites are reporting that the wave of figures based on the Force Unleashed will also be pushed back due to the delay of the game. But they will have a wave kind of to stick in there and replace it. We don't know what that's going to be, but they're going to have something. So,
well, and I think this is kind of
I smell repacks.
Thing. Well,
I smell repacks and repaints because it's, I mean, they don't have time. I mean, you know, we spoke with Daryl DePriest back in December, and we know that, you know, they're working on, they're speccing 2009 right now.
Right.
So, I mean, they don't have time to pull off anything that cool.
Well, but, you know, they just may move them around a little bit. You never know. They just may ship something a little bit early, push things up. Who knows? I think they'll do something good. I'm trying to be the optimist here.
Well, I'll tell you what I would like. Just give us one. Just give us one, kind of like they did with the Episode 2 figures.
Yeah.
Where you had the four sneak previews. You know, not a mail away or anything. Just give us that Vader.
Yeah.
Give us the cool battle ravaged.
Right. That's
figure.
Not going to give anything away. We've already seen it. We already
want Well, we've
it.
Seen all of them. You yeah. know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they don't want to kind of, you know, blow their wad before, you know, and by the time the game comes out, that it's an afterthought. I mean, I don't fault Hasbro. This is the only logical decision to make.
Right.
But I still fault Lucasfilm. I'm sorry. I got to fault you guys.
Yeah.
LucasArts. I'm sure you have a good reason, but it just doesn't cut it.
No.
Especially when you don't tell us what the reason is, other than it'll be worth the wait. Yeah. Well. Anyway, speaking of the Hasbro Q&A, our good buddy Dan Curto was kind enough to sort of give us the Reader's Digest version of this. This is a massive amount of information every week, and I know that we give Dan his props, but we haven't lately. So we're giving Dan Curto his props this week. Some questions that were asked to some other sites and some confirmations here. One, we know now that Wilro Hood is not going to be a figure made in 2007 or 2008. Apparently, there's a Hasbro designer out there that says if he has his way, we'll never get him. So, how could you have it? It's one of those kind of irrational hatred things that we've talked about on the Cantina well, shows, you know.
Well, we know if Kyle Newman was doing the...
Ben Quadranero.
Yeah, doing the line, they'd never see Ben Quadranero. So,
right.
You know, you never know what happens.
Right, I suppose. That's just kind of an odd, you know, he's not even like a real character. Oh, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, how dare you.
Well, you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
But, and again, a lot of the sites were reporting that, yes, it is confirmed that the Force Unleashed wave is going to be postponed, but they will stick something in there. Also, there was some kind of a poll. The question was raised by Hasbro of which additional Jedi fighter repaints would fans like to see. So we'll see what the response is from the fans there. I really don't care. I don't care to see any. To be honest with you, I don't care to see any more repaints of this vehicle. We get it. It's a cool vehicle.
I know how you are about vehicles. You're just not a vehicle guy. So,
well, I like the vehicles, but you know when. But I don't need 10 different ones of the same. But anyway.
That's true.
All right. Now, another site was reporting that. The vintage, we were just talking about the vintage figures, the vintage 30th anniversary collection Han, you mentioned actually, in Hoth gear, is going to only have one head and one color scheme. Okay. It was reported at one time that, you know, he may have different heads.
Well, that's just kind of creepy.
But he's going to have the brown color scheme.
Yes.
And this is interesting. The figure stands are going to be available at C4 in a 40-pack.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Now, Rebel Scum ran a probe droid poll about this last year, and you know, it was pretty overwhelming. People do want these figure stands, and hopefully these will be the ones that have the various film titles and logos. Now, I don't know if this is going to be like a generic Star Wars one, or if they'll actually have one for each of the six films. But I'd like to have one of all the six films. Another question posed about the Han Solo torture rack. And apparently we will be getting a Han Solo torture rack. So a new Bespin Han is coming. And that's always been one of my favorite figures. I know you've always... the soft spot for you was always Hoth Luke, right?
Correct.
In the vintage days. And one of mine was always... I tell you why it was. And we've actually got a Star Wars tale coming up that sort of alludes to this. But by the time I was old enough to really pay attention to what was on the pegs, the only other Han figure you had was Big Head Han,
right?
As he looked in Star Wars. So it was always ridiculous to me. It was a ridiculous looking figure. So when I jumped the opportunity to get like a normal looking Han Solo figure. So that's always been kind of a sentimental favorite. So I enjoy every time they revisit that particular figure. So
do you think he'll have holes in him?
Holes,
so that you know when he goes into the torture rack, it.
Oh, he goes. Ah, yee, yeah,
the, yee, it's, yeah, it's ah, voice ah. activated.
But then there's that great moment where Lando and Boba Fett just
look at each other.
gotta love Lando, man.
Everybody loves Lando.
Well,
what do we have here?
Not only is Luke going to be getting the sideshow treatment once again, but in the 1/6 scale, but Princess Leia Organa is going to be getting the same. And not just any Princess Leia Organa, but as she looked in A New Hope in the white gown.
I think that's the most iconic. I mean, everybody talks about the bikini.
Yeah.
The golden bikini, but the white robe with the buns, that's
right.
The most iconic Princess Leia.
I think if you're going to start with a Princess Leia in this particular line, now they've already done the quarter scale
mm-hmm.
Princess Leia, which is outstanding.
Yes.
Outstanding, but too rich for my blood. So I wasn't going to get those, but it's great to see this come down into the 1/6 scale. And we should point out that as this show goes live, if you're listening to this on Friday before, 1 o'clock Eastern time, It's going up for pre-sale today.
Right.
So
jump on it because you know they are going to sell out quickly as always.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this will be a goner. This will be a goner. Now, the Jabba the Hutt, you notice, is still kicking around.
I did. Well, you know, that's the price barrier, I think.
Yeah.
You know, 50
I think, yep.
per figure is reasonable. But, you know, when you get up into that 200 and 300 area, that's when people go, I'm out.
Yep. I mean, I got to admit.
Most people who are smart with their money are like that. And then there's people like myself who just went ahead, slap it down. It's not coming till Christmas.
It's only like the time of the year when I spend the most amount of money.
Exactly.
You know, I wasn't really expecting to have lost my job. you know,
those are those always
kind of put a damper on the on the day that came in the mail. Like, oh goody!
Hopefully,
my
I can
credit
ride
card
this.
was just charged $400. Oh well,
but anyway,
it all worked out for the best.
That's right.
Yeah, there was a happy ending. Well, and speaking of happy endings, the Battlefront franchise continues.
Just like we said, and this kind of goes back to a rumor we talked about a long, long time ago, kind of confirming that Free Radical Design is working on their top secret LucasArts next-gen game. This is kind of a rumor that that is what it's going to be. It's going to be the third installment of Battlefront 3. Or the third installment of Battlefront 3. That would be the redundancy of redundancy department. But Battlefront 3, hopefully, if you're a fan of that franchise, you're looking forward to this. Now, what's kind of been tossed around a bit is that this will possibly be an Xbox 360 exclusive. So we haven't gotten any confirmation on that. That there's just been a couple of things that have been thrown around out there in the forums and whatnot. So keep an eye out to see what's going to happen with this. But again, it's nice that they continue to revisit these. We're hoping at some point there's going to be a Knights of the Old Republic 3. We hope that at some point they're going to revisit Republic Commandos and just continue to not only bring us these great new games like Force Unleashed, delayed as it may be, but also going back through and revisiting some of these ones that they've already done a great job with, but they're just going to kind of tweak a little bit more and, you know, make larger scale battles. And I'm not sure what they're going to do in Battlefront 3. Battlefront 2, I thought, was tremendous.
It's going to be hard for them to top that.
It'll be hard to top that. And, you know, they'll have to find some new worlds and whatnot. But keep an eye out. And, of course, we'll keep you posted here on the Forcecast as to what the newest developments are with that.
Well, and if it wasn't bad enough to always get special edition DVDs and special edition films, now we got special edition books. Within the next week or so, according to our good buddy Jovial Jay over at the Jedi Journals bookshelf at rebelscum.com, if you haven't found them already, you should be able to find two new books. Well, new, I'm doing scare quotes here. From DK in the bookstores. They are reissues of previous titles, but with extra pages added. So the first is the Complete Cross-Sections book, which is really an incredible book. Mm-hmm. I mean, written by and illustrated by Hans Jensen and Richard Chase Moore. And I gotta say, It takes a very special kind of artist to be able to do this.
Yes.
And
the amount of detail is
it'd be a nightmare.
It'd
be a nightmare. I mean, you got to almost be an engineer, I mean, in order to do this. And so if you're interested in kind of the how things work in the Star Wars universe, that's definitely a book for you. The other book is The Ultimate Visual Guide, which I have not picked up yet, but it's definitely on my list. It's been on my list since they released it last year. Now, this is where they've kind of compiled all of the visual guides into one, but this one features an updated comic book section. And there's some more information on Star Wars merchandise and a small bit, apparently, on Star Wars Celebration. So this is pretty cool. This is the special edition of the Ultimate Visual Guide. So,
well, and the nice thing is that there is actually, you know, they're adding pages, but it's good content. It's actually stuff that you want, unlike
right.
what they do with college textbooks and just put in a new appendix and ask you to pay $240 again for it.
Wow, where did that come from? There's some residual anger.
There is some residual anger on how they handle college textbooks, you know.
I hear you. Well, that's your headlines for this week. We've got a new sponsor here at the Forcecast. Check it out.
There are two rules to remember when you want to have a good time. Rule number one, always listen to the Forcecast. Rule number two, never forget rule number one. You want to know why you always want to be listening to the Forcecast? You never know when friends are going to show up. I don't claim you can have a better time listening to the Forcecast than not. But why take chances?
The power of the Forcecast. It works every time.
Well, we want to thank Jimmy Mac for that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
Good. And the guy doing Lando.
He is outstanding.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Well, we've got a little special announcement here. We've been playing this for a long time, but it's about time we kind of make a big deal out of it, I guess, because it's actually coming up pretty soon.
Right around the corner.
Yes. So this is the MS Walk that you've been hearing about. Well, I mean, why should I tell you when our good buddy can tell you so much better?
following announcement is brought to you courtesy of your friends at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com.
This is Sand Trooper TD0013 of a different point of view at ADPOV.net, and I need your help. On April 14, 2007, I will be taking part in the annual MS Walk on the Wild Side, which is a 6.1-mile trek beneath the Arizona sun, and I'll be doing it in full Sand Trooper gear. Now, until April 14th, the producers of this fine podcast you're listening to right now will have a link banner that says, "Help TD0013 help those with multiple sclerosis." This orange and black banner will take you directly to my page on the MS Society's website, and there you can make a donation to the cause. From $1 to $1 million, anything you can spare would be most appreciated. For years you've heard me talk the talk, now I'm going to walk the walk. For updates on my progress and debriefings after it's all said and done, keep an eye on my website at www.adpov.net. I'm TD0013. I'm from the Empire, and I'm here to help.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Arthur. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And as always, we are chock full of Star Wars tales and regular listener mail for you this week. We want to thank you for being so diligent about getting those in. We got more voicemails, seems like, every week.
Yes.
And some repeats. Some repeat offenders.
Some updates.
Out there. Yeah, definitely. So this first one, we're going to go to Chris in Indianapolis. Chris, take it away. Take it away, Chris. Chris. Oh, you got to love it. Chris, take it away.
Hey, guys, this is Christopher from Indianapolis. Hey, I'm a longtime listener, and I just love your show. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm kind of a podcast junkie, and you guys by far have the best sounding, most professional, most entertaining podcast out there. So keep up the good work. I do have a couple Star Wars tales real quick. My wife is wonderful. She took me to the opening midnight showing of Episode 2, and after we got home that morning, she woke me up and said, "Hey, you're snoring." And I said, "Of course I'm snoring. I'm Jango Fett. I've got my helmet on. How else would I sound? It sounds like I'm snoring, but anyway." She's a great wife, and she sent me, when I was studying overseas, she sent me a Star Wars movie poster, and she came with me to Celebration 3, so I could buy an extra Darth Vader, and she even tagged along my two-year-old daughter. But the best Star Wars tale I have is one that will probably get me shunned from the Star Wars fan community, but I have to just confess it anyway. I'm about 32, and I first got into Star Wars by my babysitter's son, Bruce, who's a couple years older than me. He had all the figures, so of course I totally got into it, one day he had left all of his figures, including his Millennium Falcon, out so that he could go somewhere with his dad, and we lived in a small town in South Dakota, so, you know, this was usually safe, but a buddy of mine talked me into helping ourselves to his Star Wars toys, and one of the toys that we took was Han Solo. Well, not too long after, we were identified as being the thieves of these toys. But in the meantime, his dad had gotten him a new Han Solo, and my buddy had lost my friend's Han Solo. And what did he get in place of it but the big head vintage Han Solo, the ugly fat head of Han Solo figure. So anyway, he was stuck with that ugly version for the rest of his life, and so to this day I carry that guilt with me. Anyway, keep up the good work, guys, and love your show. Thanks for keeping it family-friendly, and kids, don't steal, because you will find out. And take it from me, you don't want to carry that burden around. Anyway, keep up the good work. Love hearing your stories, especially your personal stories, because I think so many of us relate to them in many ways, especially some old guys like me. So, anyway, talk to you later.
See, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, big head Han.
Nobody likes the big head Han.
It's kind of hard to be the big head Han on the block. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants to take you home with them.
Oh, this next Star Wars tale comes from Rick in our own home state of Ohio. And if you remember Rick, Rick was the guy that got the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been he's in the military, right?
Yes. He was recommended for officer school.
That's right. That's right. And his comment was that actually hearing his Star Wars tale on the Forcecast was just meant more to him than his promotion. So he wanted to follow up with us. So here he is, Rick. What is going on tonight? It'd be so sad if it, you know, wasn't funny. Anyway, for real this time, here's Rick, the Gremlins.
Hey, guys. Rick from Ohio again. I just actually got out of drill for the weekend and have a Star Wars tale, or a Star Wars tale that just happened today. Anyway, as you know, I got recommended for OCS, and this morning during quarters, the commander, the CEO of the command, announced my promotion, and as he announced it, he said it was a crossing over to the dark side as an officers, which I thought was really cool, and being in attention was very hard trying not to laugh as the pre-roll march started to play in my head once he said that. But anyway, I just thought that was really cool, and since you guys kind of know what's going on with me right now, I thought you guys might find that humorous as well and kind of cool. But anyway, also hearing me on the Forcecast again was spectacular. My fiance was actually with me and enjoyed my excitement, as she always does. And gotta love her. She tolerates my Star Wars hobbies. But anyway, thanks a lot. And keep doing a good job. Love listening to the show. Bye.
And we love listening to you. What is going on tonight?
We are all over the map.
Oh, I have to tell you, we'll let the listeners in on this, because I think whenever, you know, whenever you have technical difficulties, you should let them know.
It's yes.
Like it's a secret.
It's not a secret.
But we're recording tonight on a different night than we normally do.
Yes.
And that was out of necessity. Our schedules just didn't work. And we've never not recorded on the same night since we started this back in September.
No, not once.
We've never missed a week, except the one week where we took off and then around the holidays.
Right.
You know, when we did our holiday specials.
Right.
But other than that, we honestly have never missed a week. And tonight just feels like I'm wearing someone else's underwear. It's like my fingers aren't working on the buttons and the thing.
I'm wearing two left shoes.
It's just really strange. So we'll be back with the regular. Actually, we won't, because you won't be here next week. You're going to totally derail me for the next, like this week and next week.
Yeah. I've got you totally discombobulated.
Well, we're going to have a special guest co-host. For next week. We're not going to say who it is. Mainly because I don't know who it is. No, I have an idea who it's going to be.
Yes.
But, yeah. Anyway, here's some follow-ups to comments and that were made on the Forcecast by yours truly. If you remember, I think this was last week. Was it last week or the week before? I don't know. It goes so fast.
It was last week, yes.
Last week, I had used the term Kiwi.
Mm-hmm.
And describing Daniel Logan and Tim Morrison. And I thought, oh no, did I say something that, you know, you never know.
Right.
I mean, I've heard that expression, and I've never heard it used with malice.
Right. Nothing and, derogatory.
But after it came out of my mouth, I thought, gosh, did I, you know, was that kind of a racial thing, or, you know, because I certainly didn't mean it that way. So we got a couple of emails. This one from Mitchell Holbrook, who is a, as he says, a proud Kiwi. And his subject was, a Kiwi? A Kiwi? He says, calling Daniel Logan a Kiwi, I am disgusted and appalled. Just kidding. We love being called Kiwis, as does Tamara Morrison and Daniel Logan. If you ever are referencing us, feel free to call us Kiwis, because we feel free to call you Yanks. Well.
And I take no offense to be calling a Yank. Unless it's you're describing me along with the team, the New York Yankees, and then that's totally that's derogatory. But
right.
As a Yank, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, see, it's hard for me to relate. I don't have that. you know, that sports fan thing going on with me where I like actually get angry. You know, some people get really angry about other sports teams. And
listen, I'm going through therapy. It's all coming out better. I'm telling you, I'm going to be good.
Well, you know, when we get your listener mail, we want to make sure that it goes to the person that can best, who's best suited, let's put it that way, to answer the question. And 9 times out of 10, it's Jay Shepard. So here is Jay Shepard answering Aaron's question. Now, Aaron's question was he wanted somebody to clear up this Sifo Dyas business. And here's Jay.
Hey, guys. Jovial Jay here. I wanted to get to this question that was sent in. So it says here, you can ask Jovial Jay to clarify the Sifo Dyas situation. The blogs are all mixed up with theories about this guy. The best source I have is the Star Wars Infinities comic that has a story of his blood transfusion to Grievous. But can you fill in the rest, please? Thanks for a rockin' show week after week, and may the force be with you, your Canadian connection, Aaron. Well, as we know, Sifo Dyas was first mentioned in Attack of the Clones, and he was the Jedi that originally placed the order with the Kaminoans for the clone army. So, of course, immediately after this, since the answer wasn't fully explored in the movie, there was wild speculation going on. A lot of people thought that Dooku was Sifo Dyas. Maybe it was another name for Darth Sidious. People didn't know what was going on, you know, who to believe. Well, then in January of 2005, Labyrinth of Evil came out, a novel by James Luceno, and he tells us that Sifo Dyas was a friend of Count Dooku, and they shared the same belief about the Jedi, and Sifo Dyas was thinking about leaving the Order as well. He actually did go and make the clone army, and then Dooku had murdered Sifo Dyas under the orders from Sidious, basically his final test, being to become a Sith Lord. And then the Infinities comic that Aaron mentions here came out in March of 2005. It was called Visionaries by Dark Horse Comics, and the story Eyes of Revolution showed that then Dooku, after killing Sifo Dyas, took his body and had it frozen, and then used his blood to give a transfusion to General Grievous, who was a an alien that had crashed in a spaceship. And so Dooku took his body and turned him into the cyborg that we see in the movie. He also took Sifo Dyas' lightsaber and presented that to General Grievous to have as his first lightsaber. And so maybe the blood transfusion gave him a little bit of the power that he was able to, you know, so he could wield the lightsaber as well as he could. So, Aaron, I hope that answers your question, and thanks very much for writing in.
Thank you, Jay, and thank you, Aaron, for the question. Jay needs to do that more often.
Well, he does a nice job of wrapping everything up and make it nice and succinct.
Doesn't he, though?
Mm-hmm.
He's good at that.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, we'll keep him around.
He might make a good co-host at some point.
Moving on. We want to, we got this message from Chris, Chris in Illinois, and he's helping out with the promotion of this fan film, The Force Among Us, and he just wanted to let all of us know about a few things. So take it away, Chris. I wish that I was just...
It is not.
I wish that I was putting this on. Like this was some, like, you know, this was shtick.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me. I don't know what I'm doing all of a sudden.
It's getting to that point.
Oh, this is for all the criticism that we get about, you know, how our show's too polished. Well, here you go, baby.
This is as raw as it gets.
It really is. Chris from Illinois, you're on the air.
Hey, Jason and Pete. It's Chris calling from Illinois. I just wanted to put in a quick word about The Force Among Us, the documentary. I know you guys have featured a little bit of it as far as talking about it on the show. I actually got to go to the Lake County Film Festival where they showed the 10-minute trailer. And I got to tell you guys, I'm really impressed with what I see. And I'm kind of helping them get the word out about it. I'm really excited. I think the fan community needs to jump behind this because it shows a lot of different fans and it's trying to break the stereotypes that, as I'm sure you guys know, we all too often get associated with. So I want to put the word out there. The trailer is up online at theforceamongus.com, all one continuous word there. So that's, people can go there to see it, and I really highly recommend it. And while they're there, they can jump in the forums and participate there. Keep up the good work on the show, guys, and I love the bad impressions. Keep them coming. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, if it's bad impressions you want,
we got them in droves.
I want to hear somebody call and say, I love the good impressions.
I don't think they're bad. Have you seen the movies?
Yeah, well, thank you, Chris, for that update. And it sounds like a very cool film. So we'll try to keep everyone updated as much as we can. And the folks behind this certainly do a good job of making sure that we get their press releases and all the pertinent information. And our next voicemail comes from Mark. And Mark has a bone to pick with me. Take it away, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
Mark Barbian from Round Lake calling in again. Just want to say it's always a great show. I've been listening to you guys since you guys started off in September. But I do have one bone to pick with you, and it's not what's the best movie, which is Empire, but it's the fact that you guys gave such little respect to droids. Droids and Ewoks, I guess, for that matter. A show that was fantastic. I don't get it. I don't understand. The one thing that, of course, all kidding aside, but the best thing about these cartoons is that when I was a kid, they were fantastic to watch, and I still enjoy them. But the one thing I think the lesson we need to take away from droids and Ewoks is that if we don't support, you know, necessarily the things that we think are the best, that Star Wars could be gone, which is what happened after Ewoks ended in 1985. It wasn't until the Empire and Dark Empire came out that we really had Star Wars again. So I think the lesson to be learned and the joy to watch Ewoks and droids is the fact that that more Star Wars was coming, but it was the end of that time, and that's a lesson learned, I guess. But come on, guys, give it up for droids. Can't we have a droid special of some kind? Maybe an Ewok special of some kind? Well, think about it, and I'll see you guys at C4 with my droids T-shirt on and say hello. And also wanted to say that on April 1st of 2006, my first son came into the world, and his name is Han. So my wife's pretty cool, too, I guess. Plus, she waits in line for me for figures all the time. All right, guys, peace out. Take it easy. May the Force be with you, always.
I don't even know that there are droids T-shirts.
I was going to say, where does one locate a droids T-shirt? I think you have to make that yourself.
I think so. But hey, congratulations on the son and
on it's
the,
almost
the,
his
the
birthday.
Double score. Yeah, right. Yeah, he'll be turning 1 year old. 1 year old. And Han, I mean that's hardcore, man.
That is hardcore.
Han, because that's not even a real name. You know, you can get away with like Ayla, Leia, Luke. Yeah, George, Ben. But Han's
a tough one. That's one that.
But it's cool though.
But it,
I mean,
it's very cool.
It should be a name.
Yeah.
I wonder if there are any Landos out there.
Lando Griffin
from
the Family Guy. I don't think that counts.
Probably not. I mean, like a real Lando. I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
And don't call in or write in and say, "Well, my name's Landon, and it's close." No, Lando.
Lando is hardcore.
I wonder if my wife would go for that.
I guarantee. That she would not.
You don't think?
No.
Oh. All right. Well, continuing on here with the listener mail, we've got an email that came to us from Heather Gamble. So Heather says, "Greetings, Jason and Pete. I have loved Star Wars since I was 5 years old. The very first Star Wars item I got was the Random House A New Hope storybook, and it's the only Star Wars item I have ever lost. I just recently have been able to get your podcast, and I think it's brilliant." Okay.
I'll take brilliant.
"Thank you for the news about the new Biggs Darklighter figure with his cape. I should just mention here that not only did we confirm this, but there's now a photo available. The folks over at 4inches.de have a photo of Biggs with the cape. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
There's some nice confirmation in there. But anyway, she goes on to say, "When Lucasfilm does finally put all six films in a box set on the bonus disc, I really hope they finally put on some deleted scenes from the original films. I really, really want the Luke Biggs Tatooine scene." And, well, you know what? You want it. We got it for you. Here you go, Heather.
"The rebellion is spreading, and I want to be on the side I believe in."
"Yeah, meanwhile, I'm stuck here."
"You'll get your chance to get off this rock."
Just a taste.
Just a little snippet.
I have no idea if she's never seen it before, but she seems awfully excited about having it on the DVD.
Well, it would be important for it to be in context.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She says, I really wish I could go to C4, but I'm broke. No job at the moment, so unless I win the lottery in the next few weeks, no going to L.A. So, boys, I am counting on you to give me full coverage of the celebration on your podcast. A while back, I even emailed Oprah to see if she would do an episode covering the Star Wars anniversary. I don't think that's going to happen. The one time she did do something about Star Wars, it was really strange. She just doesn't get it. You know, I've met people like that. They mm-hmm. just, they don't.
They don't.
They don't get it. It's not that they don't like it. It's just they
just don't understand. It's just another movie to them.
Right. Yeah. I don't understand what it would be like to be in their head, to see it the way they see it.
No.
It's just a movie.
I mean, because again, we're sitting here in the palatial studios of the Force Cast,
right?
You know, and doing a podcast about something that we hold so closely to our hearts, and there are other people who just go, "Yeah, I've seen it."
Yeah, but there are people that feel about Oprah the way we feel about Star Wars,
right? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, who's lame now?
Yeah, what's she done?
She's like fed a continent, I think.
I think so.
Anyway, she'd written this letter to Oprah, and she doesn't think that she's going to do the thing. Oprah doesn't get it. She has a nice size collection of books, CDs, DVDs, posters, puzzles, comics, and of course toys. She's been trying to get her hands on some of the Unleashed figures, but she lives all the way in Erie Falls, Ontario, Canada. It's a very small town in northwestern Ontario, and Winnipeg is the closest city to me. I rarely get there. Well, I got something for you.
How's it going, eh?
One more time. She says there's a Walmart in Dryden, a town that's, get this, an hour and 45 minutes away. Now that's dedication. The nearest Walmart?
I can hit 7 Walmarts within an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, it's insane. I mean, I could throw a stone from one Walmart to the other.
And again, we don't live in that big of a town. I mean, we have a decent-sized population, but...
No. We're getting an R2 post office, or post mailbox.
Yeah, so take that.
Oh, this is a long tale. Anyway,
we're making it longer.
Right. She said, I finally, after years of searching, just got my hands on the Luke and Han 12-inch dolls in Hoth gear. Now she's on the hunt for Leia. She says, my boys look lonely without her. I've belonged to the fan club since 92, and thank heavens they're splitting the magazine in online clubs again. That way it'll be easier to save up for the subscription. I can't wait to see what interesting posters Titan Publishing will put in the magazine. They do that with their other magazines, like Buffy and Battlestar Galactica. Now, as to why Grace Park's character is called Boomer, sometimes it's her call sign from the days when she was a colonial pilot. Keep up the good work, boys. May the Force be with you, Heather.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole reason behind the two names.
Clears that up.
Not really. I still don't get it.
Well, it's like, because
she's got a third name.
Calling.
She's known as Athena sometimes.
Well, that's her Cylon name. I'm telling you this, and I have no idea if I'm right or not.
I haven't even watched the show. You looked very confident. That's why I was like, oh, really? And then I was like, wait a minute.
Who are you telling?
Oh, yeah, so, gosh.
That's just going to continue to haunt us.
Pete, you want to take this final listener mail and wrap up this show?
Sure, absolutely. And this comes from our good buddy Phil, who always keeps us surprised at what's going on across the pond. And he said, was just listening to your podcast, and you were asking if anyone had ever met Anthony Daniels, who played C-3PO. Well, I met him about 2 years ago in an event in the UK called Memorabilia. Waited in line for over 2 hours to see him, which is a long time to see a guest in a UK event. Anyway, there was a huge line of people, and throughout the signings, Anthony Daniels would go up and down the line asking if people were okay and if they needed water, as the venue was very hot. He then started to hand cups of water out and make small talk with people in line. All in all, I think Anthony Daniels would have to be the top on the list when it comes to a friendly Star Wars guest. Keep up the great work.
Thank goodness.
Yes, thank goodness indeed.
Thank goodness.
I was fairly confident that we would hear good things about Anthony Daniels, and here we are.
Yeah, well, and again, we had mentioned this last week because he was the one that was kind of the, you know, we know that Jeremy is great. We know that Tim Morrison, Daniel Logan, Ray Park, a lot of these that have been confirmed for C4 are just fantastic. But I've never really heard a lot about, you know, what Anthony Daniels is like when you see him at a convention. So it's good to know.
Yeah.
No. What was that, Anthony?
Oh, thank goodness.
Well, that's going to do it for this. Don't look at me like that.
I feel like we've just made it through, like, the gauntlet. Like, we've come out the other end and gone.
Oh.
We made it.
In one piece, unscathed. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's going to do it for this week. We want to thank Jimmy Mack, Dustin, Jay Shepard, Dan Curto, and the whole team at TheForce.net and RebelScum.com for helping to make this show possible. And, of course, our sponsor, Official Picks. That's Picks.com, Picks with an X.com. And don't forget, you can get your Star Wars tale and listener mail to us in a variety of ways. Pete. Give us one.
Well, podcast@theforce.net is the email, and you can either write it out the old-fashioned way or get a MP3 of your Star Wars tale and forward it on to us at that address.
Or you can just send us a voicemail or leave us a voicemail at 330-871-4TFN. That's 330-871-4TFN. If you're on Skype, just look us up at username ForceCast. And don't forget about our forums.
Located at rebelscum.com. Keep an eye over there because you never know what's going to pop up. It could be contests. It could be content. You just never know.
You know, we might as well say, I want to give a little shout out here to our good buddy Mick. Mick is one of our rusty, trusty, tried and true forum members, and he's always there to answer questions when Pete and I don't have the time to get on there as much as we should. So I want to thank Mick. Yeah. For doing everything that he does.
There's a bunch of people that are in there constantly.
And I know there's more than just Mick. John,
Jedi Schwa, and a couple other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head, but we really appreciate all the people that are over there and keeping the conversation going.
It is one of the nicest communities you're ever going to find of Star Wars fans. No pretension. No, you know, smartest guy in the room syndrome that you see on a lot of message boards. Just Star Wars fans having a good time. And we're lucky enough to count them as our fans of this show. So thank you to those guys. For the ForceCast, I am Jason.
And I am Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you. Always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.